talking about chicken a la king,
mango and garbanzo tabbouleh,
grilled potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola fruit bar. Yeah.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Hello, I'm Dan Adut. Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan. Like many of you, I'm stuck at home during this pandemic, and so are most of my guests.
Hello, can you hear me, Mr. Tate?
That leaves me with a crappy laptop from 2012, my own mic, and my fingers crossed, hoping my guests are able to record their half of the conversation, too.
How are you, Dan? You okay?
I'm great. How are you, Mr. Tister?
Good. I'm good.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I messed up the time. It's my fault.
No, don't worry.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Guys, I am so excited for my guest today. First of all, this is the first Green Eggs and Dan that we've ever recorded outside of the country. And not only are we outside of the country, I mean, I'm here, I'm in New York, but my guest is in Tehran, Iran. My guest, Mr. Taster, is an Iranian food blogger, food Instagrammer, restaurant reviewer. He occupies this amazing world. I discovered him on this documentary called Our Man in Tehran, which came out a couple years ago. At that time, I think you had around 200,000 followers, and I reached out to you, and I said, I love you, your stuff, and you said, how can I get verified on Instagram?
I remember you had the verification.
Yeah.
Less than 10,000 fans.
Exactly. Well, things have changed. I said, keep at it, and you'll figure it out. Now you have 1.1 million followers on Instagram. You have a very, very blue check mark.
Thank you very much.
And I tell everyone when they ask me, because a lot of people ask me, who is your favorite food personality, your favorite food site, your favorite food host? I always tell them it's Mr. Taster from Iran.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you. Thank you so much.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, Mr. Taster.
Thank you.
Tell me, how are things in Iran right now? We're in quarantine here in New York, so.
Yeah, now everything is back to normal. We're just waiting for the restaurant to be open soon.
Yeah.
So, everything is fine now.
Oh, fantastic. Well, hopefully, inshallah.
The number of deaths gone down massively.
Right.
And we are hoping to go back to normal very, very soon.
Inshallah. That's great news. Because I will say, I definitely miss, I love watching your videos. Here's the
thing.
It's always fun to see all these, I never saw these hole-in-the-wall restaurants. I never even thought, you know, in America, we just hear about these Persian foods, but to actually see restaurants where they're served in Iran, I mean, it really, we'll get to that in a minute. I have so much to talk about. But first,
okay.
We're going to go into your fridge. I have pictures of Mr. Taster's fridge here. You can see them on my Instagram, at StandUpDan. Mr. Taster, I'm going to share my screen with you so we can go through this together.
Oh, my God.
It's very vulnerable. So this is our first foreign fridge we've ever done. This is our first fridge that wasn't an American fridge. First of all, your fridge looks great.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Now, there's a couple of things that look familiar here. You have Coffee Mate.
Yeah.
Which I love. Is that every morning? Are you a Coffee Mate guy?
Actually, I'm not, but maybe Pega having Coffee Mate.
Oh, yeah? The missus?
Yeah, the missus. Yeah.
So, and then you've got a Kit Kat here. I see a Kit Kat. That looks familiar.
It's mine.
Too.
It's mine. It's dark one. We normally buy a normal one for Pega.
Uh-huh.
And the dark one is for me.
I love it. Yeah, I like dark chocolate as well.
Can you see the duch?
Yes, I see the duch.
Yeah. I finish one of them every day.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, all right. So for those of you listening,
I finish one duch every day, and I finish two milk every single day.
Wow! So you're like a baby cow.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know what duch is a Persian drink. How would you explain duch?
I would say iron or milk and water and salt. And sometimes minting it.
It's bubbly as well, no?
It's bubbly, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like seltzer water mixed with milk. And
exactly.
I don't like Duch. I don't get Duch. I don't understand it.
Yeah, but I'm not Duch person as well. I like Pepsi or Coca-Cola more than Duch. But sometimes Mrs. doesn't buy it for me, so I go for Duch.
Yeah.
So I have to. But you can see Pepsi in it.
I see the Pepsi there. And then it's amazing. So, and then what's this over here, over there?
I can't remember.
Oh,
I think one of them is pomegranate paste, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a pomegranate paste. This looks like pomegranate paste. This one looks like those sour things that you put in Khoresht.
I will ask Pega.
Yeah. So, and then let's go into the main fridge area.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of pickles here, I see.
Yeah. We've got, look at that. Those two are gourmet sabzi. One of them is gourmet sabzi.
Yeah.
And the other one is kheme stew. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. I actually had kheme last night.
The
hormuz sabzi and kheme are two of the most famous Persian stews.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of them is with beans, dried lime, lamb, and vegetables, which is hormuz sabzi, the most famous dish I ever see in Iran. And the other one is kheme, which is split peas, and lamb and potato chips and tomato paste.
You know, I gotta say, the thing that I feel when Persians came to America, they changed a lot, is that a lot of the lamb turned into beef. So we use it, which is a very American thing, right? Steak, America.
Right. Yeah.
I like lamb better than beef, though. So whenever I get to have Persian food with lamb in it, it feels so much more exciting to me.
Yeah, it's more delicious for sure. Especially when the fat coming into the stew, you know? Lamb is making it more delicious.
So lamb fat is something that, again, you don't see a lot of in America. But can you explain what, I think it's called dombalon, is that what it is?
No, dombalon is different. It's dombalon is testicles.
Oh, dombalon is testicles.
It's dombe. We call it dombe.
Dombe, that's right. Wow, the word for lamb fat and testicles is very, very similar.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's dombe, and it's really nice. We've got a food, we call it gourmet, which is a small pieces of meat, lamb meat. You cook it in the own fat, and it's really delicious. You can find it in Khorasan, more in Mashhad, Khorasan area, and it's amazing.
Yeah,
you should have the lamb with cooked in his own fat.
Oh wow,
it's amazing. Yeah,
that sounds incredible. Sounds so incredible. You know, I feel like Persian food is one of the most misunderstood foods, especially in America. You know, whenever I explain Persian food to people, I always say, oh, well, it's like Indian food, but it's herbal instead of spicy. Or it's like
exactly.
It's very, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's a real gourmet, delicate, fantastic cuisine.
Yeah.
How would you explain Persian food?
Because I used to live in England, you know that. I used to live in Bournemouth. And many people was confused about Persian foods. They normally think it's Arabic, something near Arabic food, but it is not. It's very, I mean, if you travel around Iran like what we did with Mark Wins, which is one of the most famous food critics, or Trevor, it was in each city you could find maybe tons of foods that they never tried, or even they never heard of it.
Yeah.
Each city had their own, you know, dish. Amazing dish. Like Rasht, if you travel to Rasht, you could find many different dishes like Fesenjun, which is walnuts stew with Chutka bird, which is immigrants' birds, and it's really amazing. You could find whitefish, you could find kilka, which is anchovy fish, and each city got their own thing. And one of the most famous dishes, DZ. You like DZ, don't you?
I love DZ.
yeah.
DZ is also called Gusht Da Kubide, right?
Abgusht,
yeah.
Abgusht. And when they match the meat and the other stuff in it, like beans, potato, all together, it's Gusht Kubide.
I see.
So it's normally a soup. And, you know, they separate the meat and the other stuff. And they have the soup in another dish and they put the bread in it.
Yeah. It's very like my grandfather loved that. And he would eat it with raw onion. Raw onion seems to be.
Yeah.
I see you eat with a lot of raw onion.
Exactly.
Too.
And you break it with your
with your fist. Persians eat raw onion like it's like an apple. They just bite through it.
Exactly.
Let me see. Is there anything else that we're missing in the fridge here? Let me just share our screen one more time before we move on. But there's a. Let's see. You guys cook at home a lot, is what I gather here, because you have a very.
To be honest, after the corona, yes. Before that, no.
Yeah. Well.
Not at all, because every day we were outside, tasting, traveling.
And you're really like the Anthony Bourdain of Iran. Like I see in your videos, you walk you walk down the street and people go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got many fans because I acted in Freedom as well. So it's kind of mix of Mr. Taster, actor, and other stuff really. And I'm a businessman as well, you know that.
Yes, of course. I mean, I see you give all these lectures on how people can build their brand and build their business.
Yeah, online marketing and stuff, yeah.
I mean, you put out so much content all the time, so...
Yeah, did you know that I've been to New York one time?
No, tell me about it.
Yeah, I was in New York, in Manhattan, and I was staying in Marriott Hotel in Times Square. I loved it.
It's the best.
Beautiful city... Oh my God. I love to come back again because there was a restaurant. It was scary. It was full of bones and you were going in and it was just scary and surprising every single time.
I think you're probably talking about Jekyll and Hyde.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that I've been there. I went with Bill Hunt. He's very smart and he's American. And he used to be marketing manager of IBM.
Uh-huh.
I learned a lot from him. We were both a speaker in Iceland as well. So he told me that I'm going to take you to one of the strangest restaurants. And he took me there. I couldn't eat. I was like this.
That's so funny to me that... My most respected food blogger in the world came to New York and the restaurant he went to was Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. I couldn't remember the name.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
And there in front of the Marriott Hotel, there was a McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
The first day I arrived, I just bought a very massive, massive burger. With a massive Coca-Cola. Oh, yeah. I loved it.
McDonald's is a very, very good introduction into American culture.
There was another one I remember. It was Black Burger, wasn't it?
Black Burger?
Black Burger, something around McDonald's.
Oh, my God.
The burger in New York is amazing. And the pizza, they're all really big. Like this big.
Yeah.
I loved it. Oh, I love to come back again, honestly.
So you came to New York City, the best food city in America, and it sounds like you ate like a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah, exactly. And I went to a helicopter to see the Freedom Tower.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it was an amazing trip. I loved it.
Fantastic.
So, thank you very much.
You know, Mr. Taster, I'm friends with a lot of Iranians in America, and I've turned a lot of them on to you. And we all have a very similar experience, which is, you know, for us, especially the ones who were born here, we hear about Iran in a way that's, you know, we've never been there. We would all love to go. But it almost, the way that our parents talk about it, it seems like this fantasy land. Like, it's a place we've heard of, and we've eaten the food from there, and we've seen old pictures from. We don't see a lot that's going on there now. But then we started seeing your videos, and I'm telling you, I'm going to get a little emotional even. It's like you open up this world for us that
thank you.
That we feel like, oh my God, that's where I would be eating, and that's where I would be going. And we, yes, the food is amazing, but it's more like, wow, it's a real place, and it's real people, and people look awesome and really fun.
Yeah.
And the food looks amazing. So, I mean, on behalf of all of the Iranian Americans, you're doing such a great service for us.
Thank you so much. My pleasure. Yeah, it's amazing country. You know that I was born in England as well. But if I go out of Iran for 10 days, I can't live anymore.
Really?
I don't know how. Yeah, because I used to live in England for 5 years, like 16 years ago. And when I'm thinking about it, to go back, it never happened.
Yeah.
Iran is such a beautiful country. Yeah, you should travel. As Mark Wins and Trevor, they were amazed with the country, and especially with the people. They're really kind. They're really friendly. And they love their guests. You know, if you travel, you won't pay for anything. I promise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I promise that. Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, and it's also, I feel like, it seems like you guys have so many different geographical, you have desert, you have mountains, you have cold, you have hot. And so because of that, you get so many different kinds of foods in one small area that, you know, you probably travel in a car for 20 miles and you have a completely different type of cuisine.
Yeah. I'll tell you something funny, because when we traveled with Mark Wins, we started, you know, Mark Wins is American. He's got U.S. passport.
Yeah.
And when we traveled from Rasht, we went to Tabriz, which is northwest, and then we traveled by plane to Shiraz, and then Isfahan, and then Chabahar. We saw four seasons in 2 weeks.
Wow.
We saw rain in Rasht. We saw snow in Tabriz. We saw sun in Chabahar and Shiraz. And, you know, it was amazing. He was amazed with that. Yeah. And every single city had their own food.
Yeah.
As an example, you see many pomegranate sauce or paste in Rasht. And we traveled to Masule, which is one of the most beautiful villages in the world. We saw fish. We saw zaytun parvardeh, which is olives with walnuts. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then in Bonab or Tabriz, we had brilliant kebabs and also kufte tabrizi. So each single city, like with Shiraz, we had kalam polo shirazi, which is cabbage and rice and meat.
That's my favorite rice.
Yeah, it's kalam amazing. Polo. Or lubia polo. You've got green beans, you've got rice and tomato paste or tomato in it. And, you know, in Isfahan, we had biryan, which is, have you seen biryan in Isfahan?
No, I don't think so. And I'm half Isfahani also.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's a really famous dish.
Really?
And, yeah, it's really fatty. It's it has got a lamb, it has got lung, and it has got white liver and fat.
So it has
and
lung?
Normally,
has lung?
When you have it, you know, Mark Wins found that he should have it twice, and he shouldn't wash his hands because he could smell it for 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And when we came in, out, he said, oh, I should have another one, which is, this is really heavy, heavy food.
Yeah.
And in Chabahar, we had shekar patch. You saw that. We had tanuche. They put the whole lamb in the tanur. It's amazing. You should travel, honestly.
Oh, I'd love to.
I'll be a good host. I promise.
You'd be the best host.
Yeah.
So what is, you know, it's you say all these things, and it's so unfortunate because in America, every Persian restaurant is basically just a kebab restaurant.
Yes.
Just have kebab. And exactly. It's like scratching the surface of Persian food. There's so many fun regional dishes that we don't get to experience here. I'd love to talk about kebab for a minute, though, because that's another thing where I feel like we've taken it in America and changed it from what it was in Iran. Like all the kebab kubideh, which is the ground meat kebab, is all basically with beef here. But is it mostly lamb in Iran?
I think it's 70-30 normally. 70% lamb and 30% is beef.
Oh, okay.
You can't have like kubideh only beef. So yeah. It's not original.
Yeah, tell them and here.
And some cities even they use only lamb in it. They never use beef in kubideh or other kebabs.
Yeah.
Like bonob, you know, if you see the bonob, me and Mark, we had 20 kebab each.
Oh, man.
You know, we put the kebab in, it was out. Because it was only beef, only lamb with fat. It was amazing. So about the Persian dish, what I can say, normally in Europe or maybe in America, I don't know, normally the food in restaurant is better than home. But in Iran, it's completely different.
Yeah.
The original food, you should have it at home.
Yes, I agree.
Because people in Iran, they cook it from the heart, especially the moms. I saw your mom. She's lovely. If she cook, you see, she puts her heart in the food.
It's
for sure.
True. It's absolutely true.
And some foods like gourmet sabzi or lamb shang, they put it at night and they cook it for 12 hours, 13 hours. That's a lot.
Yes.
And it's really delicious. It's more delicious than the foods in restaurants.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So let's also talk about my favorite ingredient, which I see that every time you meet someone new, you bring them a huge canister of it, which is saffron.
Yeah. Persian saffron, yeah.
You know, you probably, every time Mr. Taster goes, you see it on his videos. I think when you went to Turkey and, you know, you were hanging out with Salt Bay and with, I forget the other guy's name. He's also a very famous Turkish food guy.
Nusret and Burak.
Yeah, Burak. You bring these guys as a gift, like, thousands of dollars worth of saffron that you give to them. It's the best. It's such a nice present. Do you cook with saffron a lot?
Yes, we do. Almost 90% of our food, because it's especially we use saffron with every single dish when you got rice in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So almost 90% of Persian foods got saffron in it. And yeah. The reason we take saffron for other people, because Iranian loves to give saffron to other friends that we traveling to their restaurants or to their house as a gift, because we're proud of saffron. We love saffron and we love people. We love to show we love everyone. We don't hate anyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yes, saffron is really key for us. We travel with Trevor James, the food ranger, to Mashhad to show the saffron fields, because it's really unique. Saffron is a gift from God to Iranians, because you can't grow it anywhere in the world.
Interesting. So there's Spanish saffron, but it's very, very bad quality.
Normally, no, it's not bad quality. They buy from Iran and they're packing it nicely.
Oh, really?
So it's actually Persian saffron, yeah.
No way.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I think Persian cuisine has such a range. You have very, very... sort of let's call them common person food that's like cheap cuts of meat that they cook for a very long time and it gets very delicious. And then you guys have the best saffron and caviar in the world, which is the most high-end foods you can ever find.
Yeah.
There's such a range.
Yeah, if you travel to Mazandaran, or especially, I can't remember, near Gorgon, there is the Bandar Turkaman. You can find very nice caviar, and also in Resht, in Anzali.
Yeah.
You can find very nice caviar, but for wild one, it's not allowed because of the problem with the fish. The generation is, destroying. So they are not allowed to get any wild caviar fish or sturgeon anymore.
Oh, interesting.
So we just buy a normal one from the farm.
Yeah.
And it's almost the same taste, but very delicious. I love it. And I took Mark Wins to the caviar farm, if you remember.
Yes.
And we took a 40 kilo fish and we had the sturgeon kebab, which was amazing. We call it Uzumburun kebab.
Uh-huh.
It's a must have if you come to Iran. And then the caviar, which is amazing. Even the farm one is amazing.
Yeah, you know, my mom tells me about this sturgeon kebab. So do you know how it's prepared? Is it with turmeric or with saffron or what?
I think they put saffron and tomato paste and lemon. They mix it together and then they put it on top of the kebab.
Got it.
And the taste is amazing. Yeah, I never had it before. My first one time was with Mark Wins, and it was amazing. It was a really nice one.
Wow, that's incredible. So,
yeah.
I don't normally get into my guests' careers because I usually just care about their relationship to food. But your career is food. So, how did you get into this? How did you find your niche? How did you get into this world?
Actually, when I started, I didn't know anything about food. I just loved the food. 11 years ago, when I went to London, I found social media is getting more important every day. And because I was Google person, I had Google certification, individual one for PPC and pay-per-click. So when I traveled to London and I attended in SES conferences, I went there and I found social media is getting more important every day. The Facebook is on, so I decided to create my page, and then I was putting my stuff about online marketing, but no one was interested. And one day I put a baby octopus I had in London, and it had like 500 likes in one day. So I found people love foods, and I decided to start writing reviews about restaurants.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how. And when I came to Manhattan, it was for another SES conference. So I came for the conference to Manhattan, and then that's how I found I want to have another page which shows food to people. I started to show internet marketing and digital marketing is working in Iran. But when I started, I found it's a really good business and I loved it. So it's now 11 years. We are working on it. We've got own application coming out soon. We've got our website. Many people checking their restaurants, where to go, which city they should find their restaurant. Even they can't find their restaurants in Manhattan, in my website, in Farsi. Iranian. Yeah, because I've been there. So the restaurants in Manhattan is in my website as well. So people finding which city they want to go and what restaurants they want to try based on my taste.
I love that. I love that. So you're going to have like a food guide as well.
Yeah, we are food guide at the moment. And we have you seen my certification?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you should see it because I've got Mr. Taster Award. I'm giving it to top 30 restaurants in Tehran.
Oh, very cool.
So every year we've got a big ceremony in the Esfinas Palace Hotel, 5-star hotel, and we are celebrating with other restaurants that they are top restaurants. It's kind of like Michelin Award. It's not exactly the same because they are really big,
yeah.
But it's a small size of like award of Mr. Taster.
I love it. I would much rather go to a Mr. Taster certified restaurant than a Michelin starred restaurant. I tell you.
So
So I'm going to get to some questions here that I ask every guest, and I'm very excited to hear your answers. Number one, what is your earliest food memory?
I think maybe fish and chips in England.
Oh, interesting.
Because I was born in England, and I left the country when I was 5 years old. My dad was getting his PhD there. So my first memory is coming out is my memories from England. And I remember even buying ice cream from the ice cream cars, like they're like saying da 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 da, and then I was going, "Ah, mom, I want ice cream." And I loved it. I loved the ice cream and the fish and chips in England.
I love that. Is there a place to get fish and chips in Iran?
Not really. No, you can't find a nice one here. But no. There was a really nice one in Bournemouth, England, near the train station. It was amazing. I can't wait to go and taste it again in Bournemouth.
We have to tell Gordon Ramsay to open up a restaurant in Tehran.
Oh, yeah. that's my next, plan is to invite him to Iran. I know it's very difficult, but I'm going to do it.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
My next question. This is funny because you asked me, you said you were a little unclear on what this meant. And I think it might be a very American thing. I asked you, what's your death row meal? And This means this is something where if someone gets executed in America for committing a crime, they get to eat whatever they want before they get executed. So let's say you committed a crime. What is your death row meal? What is the last meal that you're going to?
I'll go for a whole lamb.
Whole lamb?
With Persian rice, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
with Coca-Cola.
That's good.
Actually, two Coca-Cola.
That's a smart one because it would take you so long to eat the whole lamb, they'd forget, they'd forget to execute you. I think there was a lamb episode that you did or a scene in your Instagram where I think it was Baluchi or Baluchistan or something.
Yeah, it was the whole lamb and we call it tanuche. They stuff the stomach of the lamb with rice and egg and pepper, green pepper, and they close the stomach and then they put the whole, they put the head and the legs in the belly as well, in the belly as well. And they put the whole lamb in the tandoor.
Yeah, that's, and then there was like a, there seemed to be like a red sauce on the outside. Was it saffron?
Oh yeah, that's, No, that was Baluchi spices, which is very similar to Pakistani spices.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because, they're in the borders. Like, Pakistan is neighbor to Baluchistan in Iran.
Yeah.
So they are very close. Their food is really close to each other.
Yeah, that lamb looked amazing. I mean, I understand why that would be your last meal. It looked so amazing.
that's one of the best I ever had. Yeah.
So what is the best high-end meal that you've ever had? Like, very fancy.
I love, to be honest with you, one of the foods I love it. It's kubide.
Okay.
Even Mark Vince, when I asked him what was the most delicious food you had in Iran, he said kubide. Even when Trevor James went to Turkey and I asked him, do you like their kebabs? He said, no, I'd rather to have kubide. So I'm the same. I love kubide and I had it today anyway.
Wow. So kubide, again, is the ground meat kebab.
Yeah. That's amazing kebab. Yeah I love
it. It's basically the beef. I'm sorry. It's mostly lamb, you said.
Lamb, 70% lamb, 30% almost beef.
And then there's chopped up onions.
Yeah.
Saffron, sometimes saffron water, right?
Sometimes saffron, yeah. Sometimes just with salt and that's it.
That's it. It sounds so simple. Yeah. But it's, what happens, I explained this before, but the reason why it's magical is because when you cook it at that low heat, the onions inside caramelize and they kind of melt into the beef. And it
exactly
creates a magical magical meat. I don't blame you for that one. And what is the best low-end meal that you've ever had? Like the something you got off the street corner that you were like, wow.
I can't remember. I think maybe frog I had in Thailand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Was it amazing?
Yeah. I didn't like it.
You didn't?
No. I don't like to try it again.
The next question, I don't know. I'm not sure if you're a drinker or not, but
I don't drink, but I love to have. I love to have doner kebab in England. Or burger and chips after.
Yeah. I hear you, bro. I hear you. Whenever people ask me who's my favorite celebrity chef, I say or celebrity food personality, I say you.
Thank you.
Who's your favorite food personality?
To be honest with you, I love Mark Wiens and Trevor James. I love them both.
Yeah.
Equal. But this time, I love to invite Gordon Ramsay. It's my next, plan to invite somebody to Iran to show my amazing country and foods.
Yeah, I think he would be perfect to be there. I love Gordon Ramsay too. You know, sometimes his personality is a little crazy, but he is a real amazing chef. So I think he's allowed to be a little crazy.
And he's British, so
yeah, exactly. What is your desert island food? So this means you're trapped on a desert island, on a deserted island. No, you're never going to be. No one's ever going to come and save you. So you have one food that you can eat for the rest of your life and you're never going to get tired of it.
Maybe fish and lobster.
Fish and lobster? Well, you're on an island, so I guess you could get that. You guys eat a lot of, is there a lot of lobster in Iran?
No, but you can find lots of fish here.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the some people saying that you are not allowed to have lobster here because of the halal and haram. So you can't find it here a lot. But some people are having it.
I didn't know lobster was halal.
It's not halal in Iran. But if you travel to Malaysia, you're allowed to have it.
Yeah. You know,
it's different. Funny.
It's funny when you talk about the what's halal and this and that, because my family is Jewish. We're Iranian Jews. And because of that, a lot of the foods are different than Iranian Muslim food. So, for example, like instead of using butter in some things or yogurt in a tadig or something, they'll use oil because, in kosher, you're not allowed to mix milk and meat. But I love mixing milk and meat. So when I watch your videos, I'm like, oh, that looks a lot more fun with all that butter on the rice. So my next question is, what food, is there a food that you just can't stand? A food that you hate eating?
Not really. It's very difficult for me to hate something, but I love every single food, to be honest.
Really?
I love it. I mean, I try to enjoy every single meal because we are tasters and we have to eat everything.
Yeah.
If you hate anything, then you are not a good taster.
I get it. I do have one thing that I have a tough time with, which is pickled herring.
Ah.
I don't know why. I can't. I there's something about the fish with sweet flavors that weird.
Wow. I should try it then.
Yeah, don't try it. You'll change your answer. And next question is, what's your restaurant pet peeve? Which means, like, what is it that bothers you in a restaurant? If service-wise, or is there something that they do in a restaurant that can really annoy you?
I think the worst thing for me is sometimes the staff coming, and their clothes is smelly a bit.
Oh, interesting. The staff smells. The smelly staff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's really annoying me. Yeah.
Oh, my God. We've never had that one. That's a very good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't, they don't shower every day, and then it happened, you know, because you're all the time in the kitchen or you're serving people.
Yeah. That would kill me. I would not be able to enjoy my meal.
Yeah. Sometimes it's happening.
Oh, that's so funny. No one's ever said that before on the podcast. That's very good.
I've got very good nose as well.
Yes.
You know, my nose is better than my tongue.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. So if anyone's listening, take a shower before Mr. Taster comes to your restaurant. And my last question, which is a bonus question we've been asking during Corona, is once Corona is finished, what's the first restaurant or first food that you want to go have?
Oh, I can't wait, mate. I can't wait. But I'm going to start traveling the first day. Anywhere in the world, I can. Maybe I go to Iceland.
Really? Iceland?
Yeah, maybe Iceland, yeah. I'm going to have whale there.
Oh, wow. I heard about that fermented whale. It's supposed to be interesting.
I love to travel. You know, these last 2 months was so boring for me because I keep staying home cooking, and I hate cooking, to be honest. I'm a taster. I should eat. I should go around. And yeah.
I mean, your name, it's in your name.
Mr. Taster. Yeah.
Now, what is there a Persian restaurant, a local restaurant that you just can't wait to go to once Corona is over? Like your favorite
actually, the restaurants are open. You can have delivery one, like we had the kebab today.
Oh, great!
So we already started it, but there are two restaurants I normally go. It's Sincere and Bubble Bar. There are my two restaurants that we normally me and Pega. When we are romantic, or even we are not romantic, we go there and we chill and we relax and enjoy our life. You know, that's the two restaurants are really missing.
And what kind of food do they serve?
And Sincere, they got a steak, they got nice noodle. You saw the chef, Chef Vijan.
Oh yeah,
he's the chef of Sincere. And the Babula is a Lebanese restaurant.
Got it. Wow.
And every time we're going to have cholo kebab or we're going to have nice food, we go to Yas restaurant, which is, they got very nice bag kebab, fillet kebab.
I love it.
It's amazing.
Mr. Taster, I am looking forward to the day when I get off the plane and you're waiting for me with a big saffron.
Absolutely.
If you come to America, I'll be waiting outside the plane with a Big Mac and a Coca-Cola for you.
I can't wait.
Thank you so much, Mr. Taster.
Thank you. Say hello to the family.
I love it. And tell everyone where they can find you on social media and whatnot.
They can send me a message in Instagram because I'm checking it every single day, and every single message I'm answering every single day. So they can find me on Instagram, or they can send me a message on my WhatsApp, which is 0098-912-248-2062. Send me a message in WhatsApp. I'll be a good host. It's not my business anyway. I love to help you guys when you come to Iran.
Do you see how friendly Iranians are? The guy just gave his phone number to all of you. And again, he's Mr. Taster's Instagram is at Mr.Taster. There are a ton of fake Mr. Tasters out there. So make sure. It's very funny. All
that's
the fake
a good
Mr.
one.
Tasters. So make sure you get the real one. Mr. Taster,
I've got the blue tick.
He's got the blue check mark. He finally got it. Mr. Taster, this is such an honor for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Again, for making this.
You happen. Take care. I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven. Executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan, and interstitial music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.